is slow, one is black, one is white. Turn that radio up tonight. We got football, baseball, MMA. Probably not tennis, probably not cocaine. Brightest comedians every day. We are live, live, live. We are live, live, live. We are live, live, live. We are live.
Welcome to We Are Live.
We are live, indeed. Here in St. Louis in the studio, we're presented by the Hill Cigar Company. His name's Travis Terrell.
Hello.
Chris Denman. Giamatti wet himself. He's excited.
Sure is.
We're back in the
Get
studio.
A mop.
There's fans ablazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a giant. There's like a bully outside with a magnifying glass, and we're in an anthill right now.
It's well described.
Welcome back to St. Louis, Travis. We're here in the studio.
I don't even know what that means. I don't even know why I did that. There we go.
Good.
There we are. We sound just as good as ever.
Doing some garbage FM-style morning zoo radio tonight.
Hey.
We're on 7 to 10. Tonight, you'll hear from our new damn good friend, Tony Cavallaro. He's the lead on Nickelodeon's School of Rock. He's also been in Modern Family. New Girl, Two Broke Girls, Audition for Saturday Night Live, uber ball of talent.
Member of the Groundlings. Can't forget that.
Huge, huge, huge thing. So we'll hear from Tony later on in the show. Tonight, it's about you guys. Talk to us. Ask us how the trip went.
314-880-0808.
We got Cubs cards, so I know you guys are watching that on TV and turned up your radios to that. It's been crazy. We've got all kinds of fun things to talk about. Travis spent 17 seconds making a rundown, so it's going to be a whole lot of Los Angeles stories.
What's on deck
tonight?
I'm glad you brought the hateration from L.A. with you.
You know, that's how we roll, man. I hope you guys have listened to those. If you haven't, our episodes were a lot of fun. We did some Not Safe for Work stuff. We were on Adam Carolla's podcast in studio. We did Joe Coy's podcast, which dropped today. That's also on Podcast One. Joe Coy, hilarious comedian. We had a blast. Alec took a little vacation of his own. Not only does he have the most labor-intensive, tough internship of all time, but he also takes off to Florida for golf.
He wanted to spend time with the family, man. Damn. Let the man spend time with the family, man. Dang.
Hope it was a good Father's Day for everybody while we were out. Hope you've listened to all of our fun interviews.
Speaking of fathers, let's talk to the father of We Are Live.
Why do you say that?
I don't
Mark,
know.
What's up, man?
Mr. Travis Blackfish Terrell, I have a few bones to pick with you,
get
my friend.
Get his ass.
I would imagine it has something to do with maybe the results of the NBA Finals.
Oh, boy.
You right on track, brother, right on track. But the last time I talked to you, you said that thing was going to be over in three, not four. You said, Chris, am I wrong? Am I wrong about that, Chris?
He was on the record of the.
He was on the record. Yep, he said, yeah. This thing is over in three. That's just how confident you were. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, in the words of Birdman, put some respect on LeBron James' name, okay?
I will put respect on LeBron James' name. You are right.
Okay. Would you do that, please?
I will.
Please
let me do it right now. Hold on. Mr. LeBron James, I put respect on your name. Home. There we go.
Why, Travis?
You know what? LeBron must have heard me say that Steph Curry was the best basketball player on the planet, and LeBron made me eat my words. And I would imagine me and Skip Bayless and about two-thirds of the Fox Sports newscast. Yeah, I really am sorry to LeBron James. I did not.
Well, he's a listener of the show, and whenever you made such crass remarks.
I did.
He got a little upset.
Didn't blame him at all. I'm ashamed. I am ashamed of what I had said about Mr. LeBron James. He is indeed the king.
All right, I'm glad you said that. Boy, I was laughing my butt off when you said that. And I said, no, they didn't. They come back and win and tie this thing up. Then they go take it to a 7-game. I said, no, Travis didn't say that. It's going to be over in three.
Yeah, I did say it was going to be over in three.
And I'll tell you what, Kyrie Irving, that guy has handles out of this world, man. I tell you what, Travis, a bunch of those Warriors had broken ankles, okay? They had some broke ankles.
I tell you what, the Kyrie Irving, everyone has been waiting on. The athlete, the handler, the point guard that everyone thought he was going to be, he showed up. And that was the difference in the series, in my opinion, is that Kyrie Irving showed up and turned into the all-star we all thought he was going to be when he came out of Duke. And, the kid, everyone called him out. Said, hey, man,
right. You
said you were going to be the best point guard in the league, and you haven't shown us anything. And Kyrie Irving just came out, and and I think the reason why Steph Curry struggled as far as shooting was that Kyrie Irving made his ass work on the offensive end, and I think that ultimately led to a lot of fatigue in those legs for Steph Curry. He just didn't have it for him at the end of that series.
Right. I totally agree.
So you're happy now, Mark? I'm up here in the studio. I'm eating a huge pile of crow with hot sauce, of course.
I laughed so hard after every game, Travis, when you said that this thing is over in three.
Yep. I'm wrong.
Man.
Mark, it was unsuccessful.
Oh, do you think he's going to stay in Cleveland, or do you think he's out of there?
Ooh, that's a good question. I actually haven't had a chance to marinate on that. I would imagine he stays. If he does leave, I don't know why he would, but if he does leave, I guess he goes to the Clippers? And Melo goes to Los Angeles, too? I don't know. The Clippers. I don't know. Him and Chris Paul are really close, and maybe Dwayne Wade opts out, and I don't know. I honestly haven't had a chance to really marinate on all of it. I'm not sure how that plays out. But I would imagine it makes sense for him to stay in Cleveland. He can do no wrong. They can go 0-82 next year, and it wouldn't matter. LeBron James did what he set out to do, and that was win an NBA championship for the city of Cleveland. So.
Well, I'm disappointed that Bergeau is getting a ring, and Mr. David Blatt is getting a ring also.
Well, okay. On the bright side, Tyronn Lue gets a ring. So there you go.
Yeah, okay. All right. I hope you guys have a wonderful time at your vacation.
Indeed.
You guys must be making some long paper, man.
Vacation. I mean, we worked our asses off.
That's right. We alive. Went to LA and did some work.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Man.
Okay. Take it easy.
Thank you, sir. Hey, let's keep the phones rolling. If you guys want to be part of this, 314-880-0808. Let's address Game of Thrones.
Oh.
With friend of Frank. What's up, friend?
Boy. Fish, did you see they killed off the Blackfish on Game of Thrones?
Did not care for that one damn bit. I hope he comes back like a White Walker.
Well, I don't want to do that, but, man, that was really upsetting because I thought maybe that there'd be like an alternate universe Game of Thrones and they'd have a black guy playing the Blackfish.
That would be kind
of like that. Kind of like that Star Trek where all the bad, where all the good guys, their bad versions had goatees.
Wow, friend of Frank bringing heat as usual. I like that idea.
Did you enjoy the Battle of the Bastards?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty neat. It was probably the best-looking TV show fight thing like that's ever been done, I would think. It looked awesome.
They did it right, didn't they?
Yeah, you could tell there was a lot of blue screen, but it was like Saving Private Ryan and Braveheart on cocaine. It was pretty wild.
That's the best way I can describe it. You're exactly right, actually. That's how I actually described it.
Well, I'm glad you guys are back. You guys had a really successful trip, it seems like. Keep it up.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, friend of Frank.
Friend of We Are Live, more like it.
Oh, boy.
What am I going to get into?
Well, before we go into the cavalcade of emotions and events that took place in Los Angeles.
Spell cavalcade.
Cavalcade. My mic's going out.
Oh, wow.
My mic's going out. I want to discuss
it. Go ahead.
So before we get into that, let's just run through the most important thing that's probably on the mind of Cardinals fans everywhere is the score of the Cardinals game. They're on the bottom of the first. No score. Cardinals did win last night, stopping that five-game losing streak. Now, here's the thing. Chris and I left last Sunday. Last week, Cardinals went on a five-game losing streak. We return. Cardinals beat the Cubs last night. We apologize to the city of St. Louis for leaving you for a week and forcing the Cardinals to go through a five-game losing streak. Now that we're back, clearly, the Cardinals are going to find their way back into the Central Division title.
Go Cards!
Thank you, Giamatti. I don't know how else to explain it. Thank God the Cardinals didn't win last night, though Trevor Rosenthal did whatever he could within his power to absolutely lose it. Fortunately for the Redbirds, they did hang on to win for the 3-2 victory. One, it was important for the Cardinals to win last night to stop the losing streak. But two, the Cubs are just running away with this bad boy. I don't see them stopping anytime soon. But the Cardinals really need to pick up their ish and get their lives back together.
Yeah, keep it in the back of their head that they can be beaten. And, okay, cool. You won the division. Well, we got the wild card. Last time I checked, Cardinals won the World Series twice with wild card.
You know, also the funny thing about
in the last
that,
10 years.
Despite the Cardinals losing five in a row up until last night's game, just a half game out of the wild card. Gotta love the wild card. Cardinals lost five in a row, didn't win at all when they were at Busch last week. Still, only a half game out.
Breaking news, Travis. Beef Momo texting in. You guys have me horny as a horse right now.
Hello.
Welcome
home. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
Mm.
Getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them. Fresh and juicy, ready for the picking.
Good lordy.
I like the extended version. You can tell Giamatti's been sitting on that for about 6 days.
Poor Giamatti didn't have us in studio for about a week, and we still found a way to pick on him all the way.
Oh, man, our portable sound guy who does sound for our videos, Casey Harding, so much more enjoyable than you.
He brought us coffee. Finest Cohibas
in
California.
Yeah, he's really good at making EDM music, too.
Hello from the other side.
What up, Giamatti? What up?
Giamatti's back.
Oh, man.
In the building.
With a vengeance. Did you like our Adele tribute to you while we were gone?
That was for you, buddy. That was for you. We did that for Giamatti because we had so much fun out there. Chris, you don't mind. Ever since I've gotten back from Hollywood.
Oh, wow. He's got sunglasses. I would make fun of you, but again, we're in a magnified sunbox right now.
So it makes complete sense to have these on right now.
Yeah.
You're thinking, oh, 7 o'clock at night, why does Travis need sunglasses on inside of a studio? And then you actually come inside the studio and you realize, oh, you're in a sauna.
Right. As you mentioned, the good thing is I'll keep my delicious tan.
You do look good. Are you proud of your tan that you accomplished while in Los Angeles?
Well, I was quite red for one of the videos. Mm-hmm. If you missed them, they're on our Facebook page. We've got a new series started. That was Hot Takes from the Hot Tub.
No. That you're back in St. Louis, you're going to say it with some respect. Try it again.
It was Hot Takes. From the Hot Tub.
Thank you, Chris. For goodness sake, show some respect to a segment that is just taking over Facebook.
Right. Sure.
And everyone was like, man, I don't know how Travis can follow up with a video version like Farrah Fowl where
it just juices
my beats and forces everything
that's
in my blood and my crotch area to become vibrant.
That's got the management community in a tizzy.
Oh, my goodness.
Who gets to sign us?
And everybody was like, hold on. They got Hot Takes from the Hot Tub? And they were so many hot takes inside of a hot tub.
If you missed them, we had Jonathan Kite, comedian and actor. He's on Two Broke Girls, joined us for one. Travis may or may not have died one.
It's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's a cliffhanger. We'll see what
George R.R. Martin ain't got nothing on us, player. Oh, is he live? Will he come back to life? I don't know how that plays out. I'll be honest with you. I don't know myself. It was as good of a cliffhanger as Walking Dead. You're just like, oh, I hear someone drowning in the background, but I don't know. Is it the Blackfish?
So check that out on our Facebook page. It's We Are Live Radio, you numbskulls. If you haven't checked it out yet while you're there, review us, 5 stars, the whole deal. Twitter, at We Are Live Radio. Same goes for Instagram. We debuted, and then it's actually on Inside STL, our new video series as well, as in addition to the hot tub videos. A little post-interview, behind-the-scenes look, you could see, right?
Please check it out. It's called To Be Honest.
TBH, hashtag it, if you're listening at home, to steal a joke from our new brother, Jonathan Kite, as he calls himself in regards to We Are Live. So there's all kinds of good stuff going on in there. We're going to keep bringing you content. Thanks to Josh McNew, Casey Hardig, for joining us out there and making these videos make us feel beautiful.
It was, we got work done. I know Mark is like, oh, you guys are on vacation. None of that, my friend.
In fact, there was very little
to zero fornication involved.
Yeah, self-fornication, man.
There was plenty of that. Duh, it's a trip to L.A.
Yeah.
But well, we got a lot of work done. We were able to film several episodes. We got some hot takes in the hot tub. We got To Be Honest. As Chris mentioned, obviously you can go on weareliveradio.com.
Another one dropping tonight with Tony Cavallaro.
And they were, well, here's the thing. In order for a lot of this to work, you got to have people who are willing to play ball. And fortunately for us, while we were out in L.A., everyone was willing to play ball. How would you grade the trip? Now, there was one caveat. There was one little surprise that we didn't have. It didn't ruin the trip by any stretch of the imagination. Can I bring that up or should I not? Can I pocket that one surprise that we almost had?
Oh, it'll be a future interview, so you can say it.
Okay,
care.
Well, it was an A trip. It was an A trip.
Oh, yeah. We nearly had an A+.
We almost had an A+.
In what world do we get to go on Joe Coy and Adam Carolla's podcast and not call an A+?
You're exactly right. So let's say it was an A+ trip. This would have made it an A++ trip.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The talent that walked into our living room, get out of here.
No, we had guys.
I will probably cuss tonight.
Please don't. God,
we're back to the NSFWs, which we realize we're much better suited for.
Yeah.
So.
Don't do that.
Finger on the button. Ready to go there, Giamatti.
And take the finger, what you have presently near Alex, away from him. Thank you, Giamatti. That's even better. But, no, so everything we had wanted to do in L.A. as far as interviews and filming, we got accomplished. There was one small surprise that we almost nailed down, but like Chris mentioned, we will have for a future interview, is the opportunity to sit down with one Jimmy Kimmel. I'm going to just say it. Can I just say it, Chris? Fair file is the reason sitting down with
us. He reached out to us and then got busy.
And he was like, because he's like reading mean tweets. He was like, oh, that was cool, but this fair file thing, I want to implement it in our show. So we reached out to Kimmel and his people. They were kind enough to, one, respond and, two, not have us killed, but also to say that, unfortunately, because of his present schedule, we weren't able to knock anything out while we were up there that week. But
no, it's he'll be on in the near future.
He will be on in the near future. So outside of that, it was indeed an A+ trip. We had an opportunity to go on a Corolla again. Joe Coy, which Chris mentioned, is presently on the WeAreLiveRadio.com website. So go to that to listen to that interview. It was about an hour 10 of us just shooting the breeze with Joe Coy. It was so chill, so laid back.
It was great. And it's fun to be a part of other people's content. And then our own content, if you missed it yesterday, comedian and a guy that's been a model in GQ, Dylan Palladino, super young, 23, super ambitious, great dude. We had a blast. He shot a video with us. I'll let you decide what kind of video until you see it. Wright City Lemming checking in. Are you guys going to get to the comedy portion of the show soon?
That is late.
That's late. Wait till you hear Tony Cavallaro. He's funny. Not going to happen with just the two of us. Sorry, buddy.
He was happy that Palladino was on last night for the Express show. He said that was the funniest segment we've probably ever had on this show.
Who's that?
Wright City Lemming.
Where did he say that?
He said that in the text line last night while I was in studio. I think he texted me. He didn't think he knew I was in studio. But I saw it, Lemming.
Yeah.
I saw the text.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And then I shot back at SoCo Midget. He made a comment about us, and then I replied through the text line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He loves calling us out on our live, We Are Live, to tape.
Ha ha, you guys, we are recorded? And he said something like that, and I kindly replied, suck it, SoCo Midget.
Yeah, actually, if you guys only knew, McKernan wakes up at 4 a.m. every day and just he works in a bunch of material. And then our board ops are so good.
Yeah.
They just work in McKernan's responses. He's not ever actually in here.
No.
He doesn't like to be, you know, he's talent.
Now here's the thing. Because of its great success, do we then reach out to one Timothy McKernan and see if he's interested in being in the next guest on Hot Takes? From the hot tub.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with McKernan. That'll break the internet.
Can you imagine McKernan with his shirt off, you and I both in between him?
Hold on to your butts.
That's exactly what he would say. Exactly what he would say.
Do you think people remember we're still here, like in this thing? Like I got some side eyes from the office staff that was here. They're like, you here to deliver a package or something?
The lovely Mrs. McKernan I saw today while I was in studio.
Did she call the police?
And she almost did. She's like, well, it isn't the little superstars that are back.
Oh, God.
And then she threw eggs and hot coffee in my face.
She's actually pretty funny and much quicker witted than you.
No, I know she is. That's why she offered to be the next guest host on
We Are Live. My spot?
Just take both of our spots.
I feel a wild guess here. If she did the hot tub videos with Tim, can you imagine? That'd be 1 million views in about 30 minutes.
So we're saying
Charter would have to actually build another substation.
So you're saying
just to just to do that.
So you're saying, and I like the way he workshops, especially on live radio. You're saying Travis Terrell, the Wolf, in a hot tub with the McKernans.
I mean, no, I wouldn't be part of that.
No, we will be a part of that, and that will happen. So, Tim, because I know that you don't have much to do in the evenings with your wife, and you're likely listening to this show as we speak.
Tim's busy. He's buying Kix 106 and Magic 108 right now.
Well done in your St. Louis radio references.
You like that? Bright City Lemon. Guess I'll switch over to listen to Charlie Tuna read stats off the internet.
That is more entertaining. Certainly funnier. But you, as long as you get some brother action, you get some tuna, you get some blackfish. Okay, any way you get it.
However you can do it.
Get some black in your life. But no, that'd be great. I think we should do that. If so, Tim, if you're listening, this is our offer.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah?
He's not.
Okay. Well, if someone can go to the fan page at some point and tell Tim that we're making an offer, the McKernans to be our very first St. Louis guest on Hot Takes. From the hot tub. It's going down.
I keep having to literally grind my cussing to a halt. I'm a hot shot doing our NSFW episodes now. Dave, the pie player, enjoyed your shows in L.A. Just curious if it met or exceeded your expectation. Dave, the pie player, see, he's a beautiful man.
Yes, he is.
He's got actual pipes.
Yes,
for guns, like arms.
Like 3% body fat.
And he also,
healthiest human I know.
Also does that for his profession.
Yes.
So there's a literal meaning. There's a whole bunch of levels there. So I'm going to answer that, and we'll be truthful. I have to say exceeded because there were zero issues. We stayed at a really nice – we invested heavily in a really nice Airbnb in a quiet neighborhood, literally next to the house that was the Brady Bunch house. Hilarious watching people awkwardly get out of their car throughout the day and kind of peek around because it's in a residential area, but it's off the main drag, and people go and take selfies in front of that house. So that was funny. But we had a really nice place. The guys that came and helped us are amazing dudes, and they're very, very talented. That was great. We invested in some new portable equipment that you guys heard. I actually listened, and the airwaves junk up the sound a little bit, but the quality's fantastic. So that was good. So from a technical side, I didn't throw any fits. I'm a big fit thrower with that stuff. I just internalize it. Actually, you just see me turning red and want to punch a wall. But no. So nothing went wrong with that. Everyone was super, super, super fantastically nice. If you haven't listened to Carolla's podcast that we were on, do that if you enjoy us. He was great. He could not have been nicer. His people were nice. His studio was amazing. Joe Coy was fantastic. Jonathan Kite, dude, this guy, we're going to his special. He's taping a special in Chicago July 9th. I'm thinking about if people want a road trip up there, I may give away a few tickets to be part of that, and you can get in for free if you guys feel like going on a road trip. Maybe we'll put together a little crew. But Jonathan Kite helped us out a bunch. Everybody was so damn friendly. What did you think of the improv the show at the improv shop? Tell people about that. Who'd we see at the improv shop? On Melrose. Oh, this is a legendary place. And again, we're being cool guys here. So Jonathan Kite, brother of the show.
Right.
Put us on the VIP thing or whatever. So we got to go check out because he was going to be on stage at the Improv, which is a famous venue. Who's there, Travis?
Oh, man. So let's just go give you the highlights. Let's go. We got Tom Segura. You got Brian Callen.
Woo!
You had Jonathan Kite, of course, from Separation Anxiety. Her name is escaping me right now. Was it Schlesinger?
Eliza Schlesinger.
She was there.
Why do you hate women?
I love women, and she was very funny.
Yes.
And I'm missing someone. Why am I drawing a blank? Who am I missing? We had Skylar Stone.
Skylar Stone, St. Louis native.
St. Louis native, Webster Grove grad. Man, I feel like I'm missing someone. There was one person I'm missing. Why am I drawing a blank?
Matt Grice, who also owns the clothing line.
Right.
Young and Reckless.
Right.
He was the host, and he's 20 years old.
He's on
better looking and more talented than
everyone
you'll ever be.
Right. Yeah, he is 20 years old, the only white crew member on Wildin' Out
on MTV2.
And
he was the host.
20 years old. Funny kid. Well on his way.
Skyler, Brian Callen, Eliza Schlesinger, Tom Segura, and Jonathan Kite. The place was torn apart. Everybody was dying laughing. And then Bobby Lee wasn't able to make it. He was supposed to be the closer.
Wow. It was a lot of fun to even ask your to answer the pipe layer's question as well. Yes, it exceeded expectations. I think there were several highlights of the trip, but I think for me it was being able to see a taping of Nikki Glaser's show, which is airing tonight.
Wait, we'll get into that. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Not Safe and Nikki Glaser on tonight. We're on that. Featured on that.
Let's
no,
not do that
we're not. We're in the audience.
Not even close.
Was Nancy Pelosi there? Janet Reno.
Pelosi was not there, but it was...
She was en route.
But it was the liberal cesspool that I imagined it was going to be. There were people with pink hair just walking up and down the street in the
men, men that weighed no more than 120 pounds in 10-gallon hats.
Well, everyone talks about, you know, how effective the Black Lives Matter movement has been. I was in L.A.
Everyone does?
I was in L.A. for 6 days. LAPD.
Three black people.
LAPD, no, it was like 40. It was way more black people than I anticipated, especially where we were
LA. I was surprised we didn't see. I made the comment that I was like, not that many black people for LA being so diverse.
No, it was more than I actually anticipated.
Really?
So maybe we had a different.
I guess I always want more black people because I'm so accepting.
Well, I love just always being the only one. Every time I walk into a room,
you
I'm
do.
Like, it's on me, everybody. Pay attention to me. No, but I did not. Only one time did I get stared down by LAPD.
Well, you were about to cross a busy street.
I was going to jaywalk, and they had their batons ready.
They love writing tickets.
Oh, my goodness. They had their batons ready, just ready to light me up for jaywalking. The guy literally slowed down. The LAPD cruiser slowed down in front of me and gave me the, I wish your ass would.
To be fair, I was standing behind you and flipped him off.
Ah. So, well done, LAPD, for not shooting or tasering me to death while I was out there for a week. I salute you. A lot of restraint now they have in LAPD.
Our friends, the Soulard Snuggler and Maddie Bear, texting in. Soulard Snuggler, just tuning in. Sorry if I missed it. You boys try any Tito's Tacos when out there. What was the go-to watering hole? I used to go broke every weekend on Sunset.
We went to, was it Laurel Tavern?
That was close. We were in Studio City, but we did go to a bar across the street from the Pink Taco on Sunset.
And then we ended up at the Pink Taco.
That We Are Live's business account took a little hit on, for sure.
Oh, yeah? I haven't seen the numbers yet, so I'm
afraid. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be going through those quickly.
What is there to go through? The alcohol's been consumed. The fornication's already been had. What else can I do at this point?
Hey, in other non-related news, if you're looking to sponsor We Are Live, we've got some debt to clear out. It'd be funny if we just took a trip and acted like we did this and just went $40,000 into credit card debt to say we're out working. No, not the case.
We say we laugh, but then you'll see us on a bi-state bus as we try to get to the studio the next week.
Oh, goodness. We went to Laurel Tavern. That was cool. There's a funny story to go with that. We'll get to that after a few more texts. Where we went to Barney's Beanery. That's pretty standard. Ran into Sid Wilder while we were there. Literally
our very first guest on We Are Live.
Yep.
And we ran into her out in L.A., literally, I said.
Other things, we'll get to that. Maddie Bear, hey, sexy boy toys, will you be celebrating Timber Fake's birthday tomorrow? I'm lighting candles and taking shots of sexy fireball.
Well, can I answer that, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, Timber Fake said he was blacker than me, so I'm going to show my black ass up tomorrow morning to the morning after, and we're going to find
out. Who blacker than who?
Yeah, we're going to find out how black his ass really is. So I'm going to bring
bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Thank you, Giamatti.
Good to have Giamatti back.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to rub my anaconda against the window and see where Tony Lee jumps. I'm expecting her to do just that.
Tension in the air right now?
Uh-huh. He's going to feel some tension.
Oh, sweet. Soulard Snuggler, I worked with Skyler on a little indie flick a few years back. Great dude. It's amazing how many St. Louises are doing things out there.
There you go.
Great point.
That's a great point. We were just about to mention that, in fact.
It is. And that's Skyler is a great dude. He was going to do our show. We couldn't work it out while we were out there, so we're going to have him do a phoner this week, and the next time we're out there, he'll do one in person. He's a great guy. He's a kick-ass, funny dude. He's had stuff on Comedy Central. And to the point of the Soulard Snuggler, so Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. There's a bunch of St. Louisans on that staff. Obviously, Nikki and Chris being the creators of that. They're both from St. Louis.
Right.
Tim Convey, several others, and then we ran into all kinds of people. It was really
there are a lot of people in the industry working for on the the traditional behind the scenes roles, executive producers, writers, who also are from the St. Louis or the metro area, and that was the cool thing we noticed when we were out there. Obviously, L.A. is full of transplants, but there was so many folks from the Midwest, folks from Chicago, folks from the Indiana and the Illinois, the Southern Illinois, and, of course, the St. Louis, Kansas City areas that were out there working. So a lot of folks in the Midwest, we talk about the comedy scene, certainly in the Midwest, more so as it pertains to St. Louis.
So do you – okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Sorry to
– No, go ahead.
Bring that to think. When we were – we had Tim on, what, Tuesday or something? No, he was the same night as Jonathan Kite. Monday?
It was Monday.
Convy was on Monday. You asked him, do people out here kind of have a heads up on St. Louis with the comedy scene?
Right.
After the week, would you ever ask that question ever again?
No.
Yeah, but I thought it was because I went back and listened to it, and I go, ooh, this is before Travis realized, well, until you saw it in person.
Right. And I think, I mean, talent just stands out in general in that town. And that's,
well, it's not a matter of St. Louis sucks, because there's a million people that are, not a million, there's a ton of people that we're thankful to be involved with that are massively talented.
No, now to say that there aren't people who travel the country, looking for that quote-unquote next big thing, what it essentially comes down to, and it is to a point that Chris Rock used to say a lot in his interviews, is that you can't just be the funniest person in Detroit and expect it to make it in the industry. You can't just be the funniest person in St. Louis to make it in this industry. The thing is, if you're going to be the best of the best, whether it's as an actor, an actress, a comedian, a writer, a producer, your ass is going to have to post up in New York or L.A. That's just the way it is. Even the age of YouTube and Twitter and everything else, that's great, but you're going to have to uproot your ass and go to L.A. or New York in order for you to make any inroads in the industry. And it's fascinating to see that a lot of folks, especially from this area, everyone says, why can't we cultivate the St. Louis talent? It's a question that I ask.
You can. And it is. There's a lot of talented people
here. And there's a ton of talent we talk to almost every week on this show.
100,000 more in L.A.
Exactly. So that means if you're really trying to set yourself apart or finally get what you want perhaps out of the industry, you're going to have to at some point leave where you are. And that also answers the question as to why it's so difficult to continually cultivate the comedy and entertainment scene here in St. Louis. It's because acts realize right away that you can plateau and then you're going to have to leave if you expect to take your skills or talents or exposure to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big eye-opening thing, because you realize that. And it's not like it'd ever be one of those people that's like, ooh, back to St. Louis, blah, blah, blah.
No, not at all.
But there was just this crazy sense of, so we have, for better or worse, an entertainment show on a CBS sports station where there are a lot of blurred lines, and that's freaking awesome that we're allowed to do that.
I like
right?
the way you're censoring yourself these days. Love
Boy,
it.
It's like, you're fighting, whenever man. Your brake pads are scratching and they're about to go out?
Yeah.
That's happening in my head right now. Embarrassing. You pull up to a bar with a patio, bunch of girls out front. Yeah. It's like, it's a new car. I need to change the brakes. But you just realize that, where it's like, holy cow, the Not Safe for Work podcast that'll drop tonight and tomorrow were done through networking while we're out there. Jonathan Kite hooked us up with Tony Cavallaro. Tim Convy hooked us up with Brian Frangie. And ultra-talented dudes that you can get to pop by at the drop. You don't have to wait for them to come in town. You don't have to settle for a phone conversation. There's just so much going on out there. And this isn't news to anyone. Duh. We just had to be there to see it. And we're brand new to this gig still checking in about 9 months with this. I don't know. When we left, everybody's like, oh, are you ready to get home? I'm like, no. It felt like we never clocked in, and all we did was work the whole time we were there.
That's a great way to describe it. That's absolutely perfect. We had the setup we had was meant for us to continue to work. We didn't want to get a resort. We didn't want to pop up in a hotel suite. We didn't want to rest on our laurels. We wanted to go down to L.A. and work.
Hey, you roll out of bed, you have somebody come over, you interview.
Simple as that. And because we had the equipment available to us, we were able to film. We were able to record. We went constantly. Chris was working the emails and the phone calls, and we were doing the editing and posting on our website, and it forced us to work. And if it's one thing we certainly also picked up while we were out there, is that once you stop, Once you bring yourself to a halt, once you decide you're going to take more than a week or two off from working on your craft, especially at whatever age you are in your life. But once you do that, that does open up the window for complacency. It opens up the window for other people to move into your territory. So everyone out there is just constantly working. And we made the comments on our podcast, the Not Safe for Work portion, that the reason why maybe sometimes folks in New York and L.A. can be out of touch is because they're so consumed with what they're doing as far as their work. So they, you know, you have to live in this bubble from time to time in order for you to survive. We're not talking about thriving or being successful. You have to always continue to work out there in order for you to put that meal on the table, to keep that roof over your head, to keep that electricity going, because
yeah,
ain't nothing adorable about an out-of-work actor. And there are a lot of out-of-work actors and entertainers in L.A., and there are only so many jobs. So you have to continue to work at your craft, especially, and you can say that to anything, any walk of life, but specifically in this case with L.A., because as soon as you say, I'm going to take a month off, okay, all right, well, we'll never hear from you likely again. And again, unless you're Ryan Gosling, you can ill afford in that town to take a month off.
Speaking of taking a month off, Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Chris, I believe the question is, why does Travis hate skinny women? Wright City Lemming, Timber Fake will be 35. His nose, however, will be 75.
Ooh.
Tony the Plow Now, hey, fellas, what's new?
Well, here's the thing. When I come tomorrow morning, maybe I'll have Timber Fake park my car before I walk into the studio.
Speaking of coming, bang any strange men out there. That's from Tony the Plow Dow. And that means arriving is what I would say. Speaking of coming.
Ah, arriving. Well done. I see you've been working. You've been riding. You must have been riding all day.
Yeah, that's what I did all day.
Tony the Plow Dow, go to weareliveradio.com to find out.
We have a literal GQ model on our video.
I've never seen Chris so upset in my entire life.
Oh, he was taller than me. I hated him.
Taller and handsome. Chris was so ticked. The guy was like, hey, you guys want to go out into town tonight? Chris was like, no.
Nope,
don't care for it.
Gotta work.
No, I can show you guys around all the bars. Nope, don't care. Nope.
Be on your way, sir.
Chris really respects people who's taller than him. You shorter than him, he was kicking your ass out the door every time. And that's funny because everyone in L.A., all the men are 5'7" or below.
Yeah, we were giants out there. That was hilarious.
What does the girl say when we went to the bar the first night? Why are you so tall?
Well, we didn't have a hat with a feather in it on.
We were out of place.
A giant leather, I don't even know what.
And then I can't believe I didn't bring my denim jacket to South City Tone Game.
If I had worn that,
it'd have been lights out.
Those are the observations. We screwed up by not bringing leather jackets
and denim.
And denim.
We screwed that up. If we brought that denim jacket that South City Tone allowed me to wear at the ready room a month ago, I would have killed it. The tang would have been coming from the ceiling. Popping everywhere.
You love saying that.
So delicious.
Have another cigar event. I want to smoke indoors. Tony the Plow Dow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We will.
Speaking of cigars, how about Hill Cigar Company?
Woo!
HillCigarCo.com is where you can find them. They've been a big supporter of us for a long time now. Big, big fans of them. Tim, the owner, he'll always take great care of you.
Show the hell will.
You know what? It's time you guys become men. Why don't you go get yourself a humidor to house the quality products and maybe even have a cup of Snappy Big Man coffee while you're there. Big fan of that brand.
Absolutely.
You can get in there and maybe in the next year you'll see a cigar brand. Never mind. So, if you want to go check out Hill Cigar Company, check them out online, hillcigarco.com. Great sponsors of ours, great people, great local business. And you guys, you're at least moderately decent people.
Moderately.
Yeah.
Moderately.
So, you can go check them out. What else do we like? We like Broadway Oyster Bar.
Yum, 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 yums.
Tonight, we'll do some fair or foul. We'll give away two gift certificates to Broadway Oyster Bar for lunch for Bob on the Fly.
Bob on the Fly.
11 to 3, Monday through Fridays, when that's valid. Oh, man. What do you think, Trav? What's the Cardinal score?
Cardinals are tied 1-1 into the second.
Our boy Pogue is at the game. He's a Chicago resident. His live-in is from North Carolina, and she decided to buy a Cubs hat on the way into the stadium. So send her ass packing.
If that relationship is still together by the end of the fourth inning, I'll be extremely disappointed in Nathan.
Well, we'll break up with him if he doesn't break up with her.
That's fair. How dare she? She knows better than that. Get her crap together.
Yeah.
Lovely girl. I'm sick and tired of lovely women doing stupid things.
As am I, sir.
That's ridiculous. What? Walking into the stadium? You know what? Yeah, Nathan. If when you play this back tonight, I'm hoping you're going to kick their ass to the curb. In fact, I'll do you one better. Send our ass packing to the South Side, and let's see how strong she really feel. Do that, my friend. How dare she? No, Cardinals are tied 1-1 in the bottom of the second. As we mentioned last night, the Cardinals won and needed to win that game in
they
the
did.
Worst way possible.
Tony the Plow now wants to know if he can come to L.A. next time. He likes hot tubs and other stuff.
Well, absolutely. In fact, Tony the Plow now, maybe you'll be our first listener to join us in the hot takes. In the hot tub. I forget that's perhaps dead air is probably not the best thing we should do, but it still makes the case for hot takes in the hot tub. Maybe we can do just that. How fun would that be if we can get more listeners in the hot tub with us, Chris? No other show in St. Louis is doing that. Who is your St. Louis celebrity that you would want to get into this hot tub? I've already said I wanted the McKernis. I already know that is if that doesn't get a million
Didn't
views.
Did we do this already?
We're going to do that. We did.
Well, I'm not going to say who. But
okay,
I found
let's
out
go.
Some information, but
what about your radio personality? What St. Louis radio personality?
You get Doug in.
Ooh,
right,
yeah,
you break
right.
down, I mean, that's easy.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Hey, 105.7 The Point, Emmis, who we have a partnership with through the station. Cool ratings and a bunch of money. You been in a hot tub for a segment before?
That's a good point.
Didn't think so.
That's a good point. I think I also can get Stull. I can get Brian Stull in there. Get Stull in there.
That poor guy.
And here's what Stull will do. He'll legitimately drop Cardinal hot takes.
Right. Hey, guys, welcome.
He's like, hey, guys, I've got a rundown for you.
Serious the whole time. I'd love that.
Because
he's actually good.
Because he's that damn good?
Actually, no, the best would be Iggy, if you're talking about.
Oh, my God. If you get Iggy in a hot tub, we would scold ourselves because we would be in there for 2 hours listening to some of the greatest swinger stories in history.
Yeah. You got to get Iggy in a hot tub.
That's a good call. Not bad. Not bad at all. Also, that will also get the ladies going. Well, one, Charlie Marlowe.
Well, Tony the Paw Dow has a suggestion. It's obviously Frank. He wants a hot tub so bad.
Ooh.
Terrific stuff.
We should maybe what we'll do, we'll have an Inside to STL Hot Takes on the Hot Tub week. And so we'll have personalities.
Ooh, like a casting couch.
Yes. Absolutely. That'll be great. So let's try to put that together. We'll reach out and we'll get the personalities of Inside STL to participate in a week long Hot Takes on the Hot Tub. I don't see how. If you listen here. If you're a hotel owner and you listen to us religiously, and I know you do, I'm looking at you, Holiday Inn Express. This is an opportunity for you to get in.
Wow. Don't be so lofty, okay? Beef Momo, that would not only be awesome, but also really hot and possibly arousing. Why possibly?
It will be.
We got your bases covered. We got the chocolate.
Yep.
We got the big, beautiful man covered for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Italian sex machine in Cusimano. I never want to say that again.
Yeah, you know.
That felt really bad.
Frank, how are you today? It's good to see you.
Frank, how are you today? It's good to see you.
My impression gotten better?
It's gotten way better, especially since we was out in L.A. Hey, Giamatti, I want you to clip that out. I want you to clip that out for Italian sex machine in Frank Cusimano. I want that clipped.
I need to hear it one more time, though, before you do that.
Frank, how are you today? It's good to see you.
Frank, how are you today? It's good to see you.
It's better.
Yeah, you're good.
It's better.
I say the tan is doing it because... Stan is so tan.
Uh-huh.
You done it. That's pretty good. That's
you're talking about friend of the press, Stan Kroenke.
Well, that's another story we'll get into later tonight. Stan wants back in. Stan wants back into the St. Louis market. We'll talk about that later. Stan wants
that's
back in.
That's a tease because I have done nothing but work on our business today, so I don't know what's happening in the world.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Stan
I like whenever you tell me stuff and I like drop my mouth. I'm like, what? Hey, Chris, aren't you supposed to be in tune with what's happening?
Like, Chris, Obama, man, he started to hoop it up back again. Did he?
Is that so?
Wow.
As long as Anthony Bonner is not allowed to have a team.
Oh, here you go again. And then I almost had you going last week, and I wish I had known you did not know this, but Chris Giamatti, believe it or not, for 2 minutes thought Wakanda was an actual African country.
See, Travis is mad because I can convince him that any band
that's
is
true.
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't. He missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
To tell me that a Marvel made-up African country. Because, you know, Africa doesn't just have random countries popping
here
up.
Here we go. They're random. Oh, they pop up every day.
Yeah.
Like the cradle of civilization, huh? Damn you.
Frank, how are you today? It's good to see you.
Frank, how are you today? It's good to see you.
Unbelievable. No, that would be good. We're going to do that. And then we're going to continue to make the rounds. Again, this hot take thing is taken off. We're going to get, then my, of course... It's to move on to athletes and celebrities. I want to culminate our one-year anniversary, our one-year We Are Live anniversary, Hot Takes in the Hot Tub with John Hamm. That's what I want. That's my goal. We want Hot Takes from the Hot Tub. So it's important that you watch this video so John Hamm can join us on our one-year anniversary for Hot Takes in the Hot Tub.
I can get someone big.
Who is that?
Janet Reno's gynecologist texting that in.
See,
there's about three meanings there. Beef Momo apologizing, saying didn't want to come on too strong. That is not something you usually do, Beef Momo.
Not
it's
at
usually
all. No.
Fast and strong like Travis's
Very
love
subtle.
Life. Tony the Plow Dow, excited to see other show hosts' nipples.
Well, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Travis, you want to see him again?
Knock it off. I'm trying to see, is there a particular listener that you would like to get into the Hot Takes for the Hot Tub?
South City Tone.
South City Tone's a good one.
He'd bring the black women.
He would. He would bring lots of them. And you'd be like, damn, why do they all look like Monique? And you'd be like, I don't know. That's just the way South City rolls.
Oh, they're here with Tone.
Oh, they're here with Tone. That's a good one. I would go, Oh, man. I would have to go.
How do you not go Brother Hebert?
Brother Hebert. Oh, absolutely. Well, I would want him to be like the cabana boy because he could bring our drinks. I would want him to do that. But then I would have to get Larry Nickel in there.
I'm not going to say who this text's from, but...
we'll have to guess.
If you get a nice hot tub, you should invite your mothers to be in the tub, and you both will behave for once.
Ooh, I think I kind of know who that's from.
From the 573, if that helps.
Oh, wow. Wow. Just unnecessary.
Going to have to block her.
Don't worry. I'll unblock her later, Mom. Don't worry. That's so...
And she also wants in with John Hamm.
Cool.
All right, pipe down.
I'm just happy that you're back to your right hue, Chris.
What do you mean? Oh, that I'm not red? I'm like tan. Actually tan now.
You look
like
Fred Bird.
It was bad. That
you know
one
it's
day.
Bad when my good friend, my friend Jason goes, is Chris all right? Is he okay? I immediately show him the video, and he goes, before he can even listen to the jokes that were dropped, he goes, hey, man, do we need to talk about Chris? Why he's so red?
Yeah. That's what happens. That's what happens whenever you are of European descent.
Mm. I'll tell you what. The Blackfish just got a little black.
Blackfish 2016.
Thank you, Giamatti.
Did you see the pool video? Did you hear him scream Blackfish 2016?
That was for Giamatti, man. We got to cut those off. We got to clip off those drowning drops as well.
Not all of them. Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man. All the show's listeners got together while you were... busy snuggling in the tub. We took a gang photo.
I saw
something
that.
Special, so we had it framed for you. Oh, man. Soko Midget. Chrissy looking. My God. What is she doing hanging out with those guys?
I don't know. What is she? She
probably Engine Joe.
Killed it last night. Good lordy.
VP of marketing, Brother Hebert. South City Tone. That's a nice picture, and Chrissy looks okay in it.
About okay.
South City Tone, you guys should aim for John Goodman, not John Hamm. It's more your speed.
Really damn good.
Well done, Giamatti.
I forgot about that drop. One more time, please.
Really damn good.
Brother Hebert, VP of Marketing, I want intimate knowledge of Travis's tipping game before I agree to serve him any drinks.
I think that's in reference to my community.
You damn right it is. See, Travis is a unicorn in that sense because he comes from the food industry.
Yeah.
So he levels off at about 17%.
Oh, get the hell out of here. Go to hell, pal. Brother Hebert, we're going to have you on just to have a conversation about that.
Oh,
we're going to bring you on.
The stories he drops
on
my
Facebook. Goodness. I'm telling you, we're just going to dedicate an hour one day.
Call in at 8 o'clock hour, Brother Hebert. Let's hear a new booze story. Why not?
Good God. No, yeah, absolutely. That's
hilarious.
He is
the VP of marketing.
That's pretty damn funny. He had to know my tipping policy. Essentially, he was calling out the community.
Which needs to happen more often.
Yeah, it does. I tell you what, nothing divides Black Twitter more than tipping. Wow. Look, I kid you not, if the Klan was wise, they would just come to Black Twitter and be like, how about tipping, huh, guys? And then watch the divide. Just look at everyone just go to their corners. It is really something that, like, 50% is like, duh, you're supposed to tip the other 50%. And it's not even on generational lines. It doesn't matter. It's the craziest thing. I've never seen anything divide the community more. It's the OJ topic of the community.
You saw Crash, right?
Yeah.
Ludacris.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to tip her anyway.
She didn't even offer me no coffee. And that is the argument in the nutshell. That is It's Crash is the way, otherwise it's a terrible movie. But with that being said, it did raise some very hilarious points.
Well, Brendan Fraser was in it.
Well, Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock was a hot racist in that. God, that was disturbing. Like, damn, Sandra, I love your ass. Why you got to talk to my Hispanic brothers like
that? Dude, we talked to George Clinton last week.
That's how crazy L.A. was.
We took a phoner from George Clinton.
George Clinton. And he was witty. He was energetic.
Oh, I heard a few stories about him after we had him on.
Not only that, yeah, my stepfather, he enjoyed
the interview.
People are
like, hey, guess what happened when I met George Clinton? I was like, can't talk about that.
George Clinton, he was so nice, but that was one of our better interviews.
That was fantastic. He was very good. He liked my PCU joke.
That was well done.
So, you know. You liked that setup I gave him?
You did a great job. You told him everything he's already accomplished, but nothing will be bigger than PCU.
Christy and Tone were kind enough to out a new screensaver. To put a new screensaver on my phone, it's Chrissy and South City Tone.
Hey, now. I got to get them in. And this is the last one, and then let's take a breather. Man.
Well, it is hot as hell in this place. We were just in the San Fernando Valley. It was 118 degrees before we left, but somehow our brand new amazing studio is more hot currently. Travis.
St. Louis Cardinal that you want in this hot tub. All time.
Oh, Jimmy ball game.
Woo! You know who I want?
Because he'd be hilarious. He's a good interviewer.
He would be hilarious.
An interviewer.
I am going Bernard Gilkey.
The show, it's We Are Live. We're presented by the Hill Cigar Company. We're back. We're in studio tonight. You get to hear from Tony Cavallaro, ultra-talented Groundlings actor, star of Nickelodeon show. He's been on Modern Family. Get to hear him tonight. Other than that, it'll be us gabbing the whole night. Chris Simmons, Travis Terrell, Giamatti behind the glass, Alec taking notes, as he should be. We'll be right back.
We are live, presented by the Hill Cigar Company. Now, back to Chris Denman and Travis Terrell on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. By the time I hit the door, I saw on the
floor, stricken, welcome back to We Are Live.
We are live. My name is Chris Denman. His is Travis Terrell. We're back. We're in St. Louis. Thankfully, the sun's gone down, so I can stop melting in the studio. But don't worry, the mics are high quality. Never mind. Chris Emmon, Travis Terrell shows We Are Live. We're on 5 nights a week, 7 p.m. We're presented by the Hill Cigar Company. Lots of fun tonight, man. We got an interview you get to hear with Tony Cavallaro, Nickelodeon's School of Rock. He's the lead. Groundlings, Modern Family, New Girl, Two Broke Girls.
Very nice.
Pretty badass dude. You'll hear where he went to college. You'll hear some qualifications athletically. You'll hear how long he's been in the business. He's a good guy. I'm excited to talk to him again, man.
Let's combine two things that took place on Sunday that were absolutely epic and unexpected.
Go on.
Jon Snow and LeBron James.
Spoiler alert.
So, yes. Thank you, Chris. Spoiler alert as we go forward in regards to this conversation. If you
talking Thrones, baby.
We're talking a little bit of Thrones. We're talking a little bit of NBA Finals. Now, unfortunately for us,
some guy still got the Finals on his DVR. He's been just feverishly avoiding anything and everything.
I haven't seen anything on Sunday. That's what happened to us. We, unfortunately, were in the air.
Direct flight.
From L.A. to St. Louis. And the event of Game of Thrones and the NBA Finals were taking place, despite one particular airline promoting.
Hot is a hot.
Just pick it.
You?
Just have Alec. I'm a brother.
This is rough. You're tropical people. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. And so, despite a particular airline advertising that they have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, not.
They didn't. We were unable to keep up with all the happenings on those main events. But what we ended up learning is that LeBron James and Jon Snow are uber badasses of badassery.
Go on.
So let's start with LeBron James. Now, as Mark pointed out, I had written out the Cleveland Cavaliers.
In three.
And they went down 3-1. And it looked like a wrap.
They went up 3-1. But Cavaliers. Sorry. Yes. Go ahead.
And then LeBron just said, you know what? Screw it. This is my time.
Hold on to your butts.
In my city, jump on my shoulders, watch greatness happen. And LeBron took out the freaking best team in perhaps NBA history.
Perhaps.
73-9, the Warriors. They went into Golden State and won twice. That's crazy, man. Are you kidding me? On the road, game seven, LeBron just took over. He had a triple-double in a game seven.
What's the deal with LeBron?
29-11-11. He had an epic block towards the end of the game off Andre Iguodala. Would have given the Warriors the lead, but he tracked them down all the way from half court to block the shot that would have given the Warriors the lead and perhaps the title.
My dear God.
Set up the game-winning three by Kyrie Irving and the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron said 2 years ago he was bringing a title to the land. They have not seen a title in Cleveland since 64?
1864.
I feel like there's a 19 in there, but whatever you say, Chris.
Okay.
One off your research here.
Sure.
But LeBron.
Alec found that for me.
LeBron made the city of Cleveland a championship city. If that isn't epic, I don't know what is. LeBron made Cleveland, Ohio a championship city.
He's from Akron.
But
it's his home city. It's his big city.
It might as well. It's LeBron's state. He runs that bad boy.
Yeah.
He brought a title to Cleveland freaking Ohio, man. Now, compare that with one bastard of himself, Jon Snow. Jon Snow did not have the numbers. Jon Snow was left for dead, like LeBron James.
Dead again.
But he rose up from the depths.
Again.
Like a phoenix.
Again.
Again. And Jon Snow, against all odds, took out Ramsay's army. Well, he had some help. Thank you, Sansa.
Well, I thought Sansa was going to get herself killed prior to the show. I was like, she's going to do something emotional, and then Jon will win the battle, but then Sansa will do something dumb. Kind of a la, spoiler alert, Walking Dead, a la Beth.
Yeah.
In The Walking Dead. Are you caught up to that?
Yeah, I'm caught up to that point. Thank God.
She did.
Yeah, thank God. I was like, damn it, Chris! But
Jon
Snow, he just went into the teeth. What a battle, by the way. Freaking Battle of the Bastards lived up to its name. It was an epic episode. It was just absolutely heroic. Jon Snow finally taking out one bastard Ramses. And reclaiming the North for the stocks.
What about 1-1, man? He's the reason they got through.
Yeah.
Did it for 1-1, the Giant. Beef Momo, Guys Regarding GOAT, FMK, John, Jamie, Tyrion. I'll let you discuss LeBron first. Go ahead, Travis.
that's an interesting answer. I'm going to have to get to that one. It was Jon Snow and LeBron James are the same person, and you can't tell me otherwise. They did the impossible. They did something after everybody wrote them off, after everyone was sick and tired of them, after everyone said they couldn't do it, and it was absolutely not likely to happen. They found a way to make it happen, and now both of their houses are standing atop the Great Pyramid. Congratulations to you, Sir LeBron James, House of Cavaliers, and of course, House of Stark, Jon Snow. Thank you, Giamatti. Well done. Brilliant. It's an amazing weekend for those two. And then, of course, I could make the comparison with Dean Ambrose winning the WWE title. But I don't want to mix too many analogies.
Not.
I'm going to stop there.
Let's not.
God, was that epic?
South City Tone, I'm so glad I missed the first hour to get caught up on Game of Thrones. Thanks, Travis. Brother Hebert, VP of Marketing, sending in a Sansa gif or meme with her petting a dire wolf and what's his face? Ramsay's face on a can of dog food.
Can I also ask somebody this?
No.
Please, someone on the internet, give me a Jordan cry face on Ramsay.
Someone has?
I have not seen it. Someone's got to give me. Send it to my account, Black for the Future, or at the We Are Live radio account. But I want to see the Jordan cry face on Ramsay. I need it. I need that in my life. And the crazy thing about the Battle of the Bastards, it's not even the season finale, baby.
No.
Good lordy. What else do you have in store for me, Game of Thrones?
Somebody gonna die.
Yeah. By the way, again, spoiler alert, R.I.P. Recon Stark. We hardly knew ye.
Recon?
Yeah. Isn't it Recon? We was on the show for like four episodes. You expect me to get his name correct?
No.
Thank you.
Brother Hebert just keeps him coming. I'ms with Ramsay's face on it.
Thank you. Hey, can you ask me this question, Chris?
No.
Please try. Ghost. Where the hell were you at?
Ghosting around.
I don't care for that.
Maybe he didn't want to give up, he didn't want to,
No, don't make any excuses. Don't make any excuses for the white dire wolf. Come on. Talk all that good talk, Ghost. But when it's time to get busy, couldn't find him to be.
I think he was locked up.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're making excuses for the white dog now.
No, I think John had him locked up. He didn't want to. He thought he'd be a waste. He gets tagged with an arrow. It's over. He takes out one dude.
It don't matter if you get tagged, man. You are a ghost.
There's only maybe two of them left.
Yeah, there are two. Who are the two?
Arya's and Ghost.
And where's Arya's?
Been gone since about season one.
Is there a reason? I guess you can't really walk around Westeros if you're trying to be incognito with a large direwolf by your side.
Yeah.
But Ghost, there's no excuse. So I expect Ghost action. If Daenerys' dragons can show up, all three of them can show up, Ghost can show up.
Who's gonna be rocking those dragons with her?
Oh, the other two?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bran's warging into one of them.
I think you got, if I have my theory, it'll be Bran, Worgen, and then Jon Snow riding the other. Because they're related. Wink, wink, wink. That's my theory.
Yeah.
That's my theory. But I don't know. I love it. Love that ass episode. And I have no clue where this is going. No clue where this show is going. I love it.
Speaking of dorks.
Thank you, Giamatti. Now we're just freaking Chris and I out now at this point. Our heart rate is just going through the roof.
You guys should have seen Travis.
So much anxiety.
Filming in a swimming pool. We like to make jokes. We like to have fun with it.
What was the issue?
But seeing Travis. So I'm a little behind the scenes here. Travis didn't actually drown. But he had to fake drown.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to tell him that story. Okay.
But he almost got a little choked up whenever he could hear his heartbeat, he said.
I was underwater.
So we had to do those takes like 2.5 seconds at a time because Travis was scared he was actually going to drown in a 4-foot pool. Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, it was so great.
No one tells me that when you play dead in a pool.
You know the things you learn when you're like 3 years old in the pool?
I'm sorry, Chris. I was too busy learning to dodge bullets and how to work the corner.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
All right. Sorry. My apologies.
My bad.
We didn't have a pool growing up.
I can hear my heartbeat.
Gonna die. I go. I love this show. I love what we're doing. I can't die for it though, man.
You gotta love your craft, man.
And leave you in charge with Giamatti. I'm his buffer.
Nick Cannon, take your spot so quick.
Thing is, because Nick Cannon is always looking for the next thing, I can absolutely see him jumping in.
Sure, probably so. What else we got going on, Trev?
We got a lot on deck tonight, Chris. Let's discuss this, if you do not mind.
Go ahead.
What is the next miserable sports city? So now Cleveland's off the list, right? So Cleveland's done. Kansas City moved themselves up the list by winning the World Series. So Cleveland's and Kansas City are off your list.
What Oklahoma City has suffered long enough.
A whole 9 years of not winning the title. Does that mean, does that, I think Cincinnati is now the next most miserable sports
team. No, they did the World Series in the 90s. The Reds were good.
That was like 91?
Yeah, I mean, it's a while.
20 plus, 25 years. I think they're the longest one with the drought.
You think?
Where are the, what's up with New York? Now, New York will never take that claim, but I feel like we haven't seen a New York championship in a while. When was the last time? The Yankees won it, what, 05? 06? I forget. Well, it wasn't 06, sorry. My apologies, I remember that day.
They've won, yeah.
All right, so it must be Cincinnati. Cincinnati has to be the next miserable sports city.
Sacramento?
I don't want to think we want to call Sacramento a sports city. They only have one team. No, so would it be, it can't be Seattle, would not be San Francisco, it cannot be L.A. because the Lakers won not like 5 years ago. Kansas City knocked off, so I think you're right. I think it will be, well.
It's been a while for Houston.
It's been a while for Chicago. No, they had the White Sox won it.
How about the Blackhawks?
I'm the Blackhawks, you're right. I forgot about them. So, yeah, Cincinnati. I'm
Orlando.
What about Philly?
Philly's probably your number one.
It's Philly, when was the last time they won the World Series?
I think 09.
I think it's Cincinnati, because Cincinnati hasn't won anything in baseball and football.
Yeah, but you're probably right.
So there you go, Cincinnati. Welcome to the new age of being miserable. You
is literally the greatest town in the country.
I wouldn't go that far, Giamatti.
Do you want to talk to one of our favorites, Hockey Bob, on the line? What's up, Hockey Bob?
Well, good evening, guys, and I hope you guys had a good time in my old stomping grounds. I grew up in Southern California.
Really?
Ventura, California, to be exact. I know you guys were south. But, yeah. Although I've lived here since 75, so I call Missouri my home.
Nice.
They were asking about you out there.
They're like, hey,
Bob.
How Hockey Bob doing? We're like, well, we don't know.
Yeah, I'm a legend in my own mind out there, too, I guess. Hey, you guys were talking about what's next in sports. Well, here's what really needs to happen. One, Cubs need to win the World Series. I know Cardinal fans don't want to hear that.
Okay.
Need to win the World Series, and then the Blues need to win the Stanley Cup. If that happens, anything else that happens in sports is irrelevant.
That's a good point. I think the Cubs are the only franchise filled with the monkey on their back as far as finally getting it over the top. So I think the Cubs are up there, and I think the Bengals in football really do need to win. And then, yes, of course, the Blues winning the Cup will just send this city on a tizzy.
It would be. It would be great. You know, we'd be the best two-sport town in history, wouldn't we?
Oh, man.
Hockey Bob, how are you feeling about that opener against the Blackhawks?
Well, I think it's going to be great. First, the Blues and Blackhawks open up the season together, and then they play that Winter Classic in Busch Stadium in January. It's going to be two classic games, and, you know, I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen with the Blues and the moves and stuff like that. But I would imagine within the next week to 10 days, you're going to see a lot of crazy moves. So we can discuss that when that happens.
Sounds good, Hockey Bob. Appreciate the phone call, brother. Good to hear from you.
Glad you guys made it back to St. Louis without any problems.
We're happy, too, and our parents appreciate it as well.
No, I bet you they wish you'd stay out there longer. That way they wouldn't have to feed you, do your laundry, put you in bed at night, you know, those kinds of things.
I would love it if I was still getting fed and laundered by my parents. That would be fantastic.
All right, guys. Well, you have a great evening. I got to go work the treadmill for a bit.
Good luck, Hockey Bob. Take care.
Stay sexy, Hockey Bob. Hockey Bob, checking in. Love hearing from Hockey Bob.
I think it would suck if you're a fan base that hasn't won in a long time and you saw the Cleveland Cavaliers win.
It's one more person picked off the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would imagine also the rest of the teams in Cleveland are very happy. The Browns and Indians today are just like, woo! All right. All right. Woo! Thanks, LeBron. All right. Woo! Because Vaughn ain't walking through that door. Serrano ain't walking through that door. Bernie Kosar ain't walking through that door. I'm running out of Cleveland legends. Got to help me here. Jim Brown ain't walking through that door.
Mark Price.
Ooh, good one.
Ain't walking through that door.
Brad Doherty, not walking through that door.
Albert Bell.
Ooh.
Ain't walking through that door. Tim Couch. Ain't walking.
Nope. Nope. Through that door. We could stop there.
Probably can't walk as many times he was sacked.
All right, Chris. We didn't get a chance to discuss this because we were doing radio business back in L.A. But over the weekend, the conclusion of O.J. Made in America.
Boy, you want to not get anything done. Share a house to Travis for a week and let him watch O.J.
Here's the thing. The entire
in the other room.
The entire crew was watching O.J. And Chris was invited to be a part of our O.J. watching.
Somebody's got to keep the wheels greased, baby.
And by wheels greased, he means his dong.
Literally working in the other room.
O.J., Made in America. Wow.
Spoiler alert ahead.
O.J. goes to jail. But not for what you think. Plot twist. It was brilliantly done. Ezra Edelman, I sent an email to him and his staff about 2 months ago because I heard he was doing this project, and I knew right away that I wanted to get him on the show to discuss. And sure enough, we were unable to get him, and he blew up. And he's been on everything from the New York Times to Entertainment Weekly to ESPN and Scott Van Pelt. But Ezra Edelman, who's the director of O.J. Made in America, five-part series, you probably have heard, brilliantly done. We had the opportunity while we were out in L.A. to check it out, and I don't it blew me away. And I thought the series did a great job. The People versus O.J. did a great job at breaking down the trial. This broke down not only O.J., but it broke down America and its ongoing battle with race relations in this country. And it was interesting to watch how things of the past had such a direct effect on this moment, and that moment being the O.J. trial. And it was fascinating to watch everyone's reaction to O.J. Like, and the thing they brought out in the documentary is that how O.J. attempted to align himself as a civil rights victim. And O.J. wanted absolutely nothing before the trial and throughout his success as a celebrity, as a, of course, a great football player and an actor. He wanted nothing to do with Black America. Like, absolutely nothing. And then, sure enough, this trial happens. And after the trial, O.J. oddly aligns himself with, quote-unquote, Black America. And it just...
Which was hilarious.
Which was hilarious.
Given
everyone,
the,
and everyone,
given the story.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone just looked at it. And at the, in the moment, I'm sure people felt this way. But certainly now in 2016, you look at it and you go, huh. Well, that's disgusting. And it was so, I don't know, it was surreal to watch O.J. It was more surreal to watch him self-destruct after the trial. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew, I mean, the trial itself spoke for itself. But to watch him self-destruct as his life is presently after the trial is fascinating because he became exposed for the, let's not mix words, the evil that he is. Yeah? Yeah,
sure.
Like he was there was a moment in the documentary where he was creating fake tabloid footage to sell. He told his agent to film him taking down the American flag at his property, but to have his agent pretend to be someone from the paparazzi snooping in his backyard just so he can take the tape and sell it to the tabloid. It was so bizarre to just watch him operate after the trial. You would think someone who, in many respects, and that's in all respects, got away with murders, would be like, "All right, I'm gonna go
back it in,
back it in. You won't
go live in the mountains. You'll never hear from me ever again. I got away with it."
Yeah,
no.
And he did the opposite.
No.
You know who also didn't get away with it, Chris? Mike Lee. He didn't get away with it.
Hey.
Hey.
This morning I was on 2 FM.
Excuse, you're on 2 FM radio show.
We're on HD 2 FM.
One of them on Y98.
Okay. Not bad.
One of 107.
One of those.
Magic 108.
So you were on. So what did you talk about, Mike Lee?
One of them at 107, they got here. I say milk.
Milk, yum. I love milk. Was it whole milk or 2%?
I don't know. They got Carol in there. I say milk. And the girl said, come over.
Oh.
She said, the whale.
Well, here's what you do, Mike Lee. You get some cookies, and you go find out where those milks are.
He wants some milk and cookies.
Hey, 107, they put me on, too.
So what did they talk about?
It's just a way of talk, like how you got to talk. Just a way of talk.
Yeah, nice. I
hear you. And Y98 got me on this morning.
What did you talk about there for Y98?
They got Gerald, too. I said milk.
Oh, man,
they don't know what that means.
You're like a farmer. You're just milking it all over town today, aren't you?
Yeah, they don't know what that means.
Well, you got to let them know. Make sure you continue to call Y98 whenever you get an opportunity and let them know what milk means.
Right now, everybody know who I am now.
I know you're the Mike Lee. I would imagine everyone's still lining up outside of Steak and Shake to see you.
They know where I'm at, too.
They should. They come in there and give you kisses, don't they?
Yeah.
You're a lucky
and
man, Mike Lee.
When I was down out of Wall, them people saw me and said, Mike Lee's in there.
Well, next time we go out to L.A., we're going to take you with us, Mike Lee, so you can see all the milk. Some aren't so real, but there are some nice milk out there as well.
I like milk.
We all do. Thanks, Mike Lee. It's good to hear from you, buddy. Take care.
Mike Lee, everybody.
We didn't get a chance to talk to Mike Lee while we're out in L.A.
Well, I was going to give him your cell phone, but I forgot.
You know what the thing is?
I didn't give Mike Lee your cell phone number.
You did?
I need to.
If you do,
I need
that's fine.
So
okay,
bad.
You can do that if you want to.
SoCo Midget. No, you idiot. He was on 100.7, The Viper. Is that a real station? Dillard Snuggler. I wonder what JR has to say about the documentary. I'm guessing he's a huge OJ fan.
Obama. Fornicate in public.
Yeah, we did a lot of that in L.A.
SoCo Midget. Guys, my two favorite radio hosts are back. Glad to have you guys back. You missed a hell of a party Saturday night. It was a wall party. Thanks. Oh. Was SoCo Midget just complimentary?
To you.
He said two favorite radio hosts.
Maybe he's referencing you and Mike Lee. Mike Lee does get a lot of airtime.
Alec is pretty important to the show's functioning ability. Maybe he means him.
I'm going to give you something to laugh about. You ready for this? Ex-WWE champion Roman Reigns suspended for wellness policy violation.
Wellness policy. What a nice way to say he's eating horse meat.
WWE Entertainment, they announced this, by the way, suspended wrestler Roman Reigns for 30 days effective immediately after violating the company's talent wellness policy. Real name, Joe Anoa'i. Am I saying that right, Alex? There we go. Reigns lost the WWE title this Sunday, Chris, of course, as you know, during Money in the Bank pay-per-view to Seth Rollins. Rollins eventually ended up losing to Dean Ambrose because Dean Ambrose, Chris, he took the Money in the Bank, cashed it in the same night he won Money in the Bank, and therefore used it against Seth Rollins after his match with Roman Reigns to reclaim the title. I know, right? By the way, this took place in Vegas, so you know Dana White was like, they're really encroaching in on my territory. Reigns' last appearance was the main event, of course, on Monday Night Raw this past Monday. His 30-day suspension would end before the next WWE next pay-per-view, which is Battleground, July 24th. Reigns is scheduled to compete in the main event of that show against Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Now, Chris, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns used to be in a group called The Shield, so they're kind of brothers, so it's a brotherly matchup that these two will be taking on at Battleground, July 24th. Reigns is scheduled to compete in that main event since the WWE started making all wellness policy violations public. In 2007, Reigns is one of the biggest names to make the list, joining the likes of Rey Mysterio and one St. Louis and Randy Orton. Chris, how will this change the face of WWE? You have a guy that gets popped.
Are we really here right now?
We have a guy that's popped. We don't know what the substance is. It's probably performance-enhancing drugs. We're not sure. The league has decided to crack down. The league is cracking down.
The league now?
They're cracking down on these things.
Is Days of Our Lives a league?
Chris, your thoughts on the WWE finally showing some fist in their wellness policy. And what will you say to your children?
Good work, Vince. Now, does Vince have to test?
Chris, he is not He's not a wrestler. He doesn't
He's not
perform.
A performer.
He's not a performer, Chris.
Okay. Well, then there's that.
Here's the irony is, Brock Lesnar will not be tested before his fight. Roman Reigns was.
Oh, just, yeah, he will.
I thought they
Brock
said.
Brock Lesnar?
No, someone said they're not. They're waving. Are they waving it? Now I misunderstand
that's,
that.
That's illegal.
No,
that's
they said they were waving it.
Wildly illegal.
Okay, let me
if
read
If you're
this
right,
up.
Then no, I not, will admit it, but that's wildly illegal. That's
I thought that's what Mark Hunt was upset about.
No, okay.
Okay, let me make sure my information is correct. Because I had it under authority that Lesnar.
Under authority.
Okay,
you read an article. USADA hammers Brock Lesnar with 5 drug tests in 2 weeks, and they're just getting warmed up. It's literally the exact opposite.
Okay, so it's why Brock Lesnar's narrow USDA exemption for UFC isn't a scandal.
Okay.
So there was a story that they were giving him exemption, so I met that wrong. They didn't completely waive it. But they. So what do the exemptions mean?
There is no exemption. He's getting Lesnar was tested 5 times, and this is courtesy of MMA Mania. Lesnar was tested 5 times in a span of 2 weeks, according to the USADA website, to reveal any traces of performance-enhancing drugs. The WWE import has never failed a pre- or post-fight drug test throughout his career. And to be fair, he's for sure looked like an absolute animal when he was in college wrestling for Minnesota. But you hear fighters still going, yeah. Testing's quite a bit different.
All right, this says the exemption only applies to the 4-month waiting period Lesnar has been and will be tested randomly for as long as he has a contractual relationship with the UFC. Between now and UFC 200, he'll be just as subject to drug tests as his opponents. Okay, I misread that wrong. I apologize.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I was just like, that's highly
illegal. Well, I heard the exemption, and so I assumed it was a waiver that he wouldn't have to be tested, which I heard Mark Hunt was not happy with even the exemptions, and so I was surprised that Roman Reigns and the WWE is being suspended for 30 days for testing, and Brock Lesnar was given an exception. But I misread that incorrectly, so I apologize. Roman Reigns did go on to say, I apologize to my family, friends, and fans for my mistake in violating the WWE's wellness policy. No excuses. I own it. I tell you what, Chris, we talk about, the Mark Maguires.
What are we talking about?
We talk about the Barry Bonds, the Mark Maguires. We talk about even Peyton Manning. But I have to say, of all those names, Roman Reigns is one of the highest-profile athletes. Highest profile wrestlers, highest profile prize fighters. Prize fighters to be knocked for PED use.
This is.
But to see the WWE finally take measures that even the UFC have skirted on, they've drugged their feet when it comes to their wellness policy, right, Chris? And to see Vince McMahon take this seriously.
Okay, first of all, it's not a wellness policy. That's not a.
It's about wellness, Chris. It's about wellness.
Oh,
health and wellness.
Oh, my gosh. No, UFC's testing is now the toughest possible, as it could be. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Lesnar fight. UFC 200 is going to be insane.
Are you also looking forward to Battleground, seeing if whether or not the PED have any effect on Roman Reigns when he takes on Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose? I know, right? I know what you think. Your speech is like, I don't know, man. I just don't know. Heading to the bottom of the fifth, Cardinals 4. Cupboards 3.
Is that right? Who's scoring runs?
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to actually look at the feed. We used to.
I'm going to press 2 buttons and find out.
Well done. Good for you, good sir.
How about that? We'll check a box score here. We are live. We're checking a box score on the Cubs Cardinals games. Carpenter, home run. Matt Holliday, 2-for-3 with a home run.
Chris Carpenter with a home run. All right.
Nope. So Carpenter and Holliday, it's their 11th and 13th, respectively. Piscotty has a double. Ribbies from Carpenter, Holliday, and Brandon Moss. Brandon Moss. Wainwright, 4 innings pitched, 3 earned.
Also, Chris, a score update. There's some soccering going on in Copa America.
Excuse me? No wonder the Barnhart Brawler isn't texting.
That's a good point. USA 0, Argentina. Am I saying that right?
Pardon me?
Argentina.
I don't think
that's how they say it. Argentina.
Okay, we've got a treat now that we're back in Los Angeles from Los Angeles. We have to read this correctly because Giamatti put him up on the board like this. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Chris.
It's time to get comfortable. It's Jimmy B.
Oh,
it's not just Jimmy B. It's Jimmy B. of Let's Get Comfortable.
Jimmy B. What do you want?
You know, I just got in the car. I heard a little WWE talk. I said, I figure I've got to chime in.
See what you've done, Travis?
I'm glad, Jimmy B. First of all, it's good to hear from you. I hear your podcast got 8 downloads last week. So hey, you guys are moving in the right direction.
Guys, it's no L.A., but we're making big, big waves here in St. Louis. It's great.
Making waves on the Mississippi.
Hey, you know what, though? Congratulations, you guys. You guys have been doing big things. In all seriousness, you guys deserve all the credit. You know what, out of the airwaves, and y'all deserve everything and all good things coming to you.
Jimmy B., that is
all right, drop that punchline.
All right, what is it? What do you got for us?
Right, and Chris, that'll be $50 instead of $25 for that one.
Jimmy B., thank you very much, man. It's been
Jimmy
fun.
B., are
a blast.
Are you surprised by this wellness policy the WWE has put up?
All right, stop calling it a wellness
very
policy.
Very stringent, very strong, similar to the Olympics, similar to baseball. Roman Reigns being popped. Your thoughts?
You know what? I'm not surprised because Vince McMahon runs a tight ship over there.
Yes.
Oh.
And this was bound to happen.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm glad it happened to Roman Reigns because I'm not a big fan of Roman Reigns.
Why do you hate people where he's from?
You know what? If he's going to do it, that's one thing. But if you get caught, that's another thing. And Vince McMahon's got the tight leash around him.
It is kind of embarrassing considering that everyone understands the nature of the WWE. For a guy as high profile, literally the guy no more than 48 hours ago was the WWE champion, to get popped for Lord knows what, but to get popped at all. Like, the thing that frustrates me is that you really shouldn't be that stupid. Yeah?
Yeah, I hear you. I feel like he's probably just been mixing too many of his uppers with his downers, and especially with all the booze he gets these days, he's probably just super depressed on the road, and he's just shoving pills down his throat. I guess I'd probably do the same.
Here's allegedly. The guy's a high-profile WWE celebrity, literally is Samoan, probably the best-looking human being in all the world.
Okay,
strong pecs.
There's
he has amazing tattoo. His glutes, my word, clearly he's in the gym 3 times a day. He has nothing to be depressed about. What the hell's wrong with Roman?
You're right. You're 100% right. I don't know why I ever went against you. You're 100% right.
Somebody's been taking improv classes.
Jimmy B., I'm so proud of you. It's good to hear from you. I was literally, when we were out in L.A., we bumped into so many homeless people who were fans of Let's Get Comfortable. And I was like, you know what? I will let our friend Jimmy B. know when we get back. And they went on to start biting the rest of their leg. And it was so cute. But, yeah, you have fans also outside the state of Missouri. So big ups to you and your crew as you guys continue to put together whatever the hell you're putting together over there.
You know what? It's great. I'm glad that you guys met those people. Those were once your fans. Now you've moved on, and I'm just picking at the bones over here.
I like that. Jimmy B., what else is going on? Your fiance is lovely. She sings. Is she serenading you nightly? What's going on?
You know, she serenaded about 3,000 people tonight at Faust Park.
Yeah,
that's the real deal. And I'm just leaving there right now. I got to go home, and I swear this was not planned, but I got to get together with my graphic designer for a nice logo for Let's Get Comfortable.
So how does it feel to be like your girlfriend is the Beyonce of your relationship? Does she allow you to go to the mall on your own? Or her making the big decisions, does that hurt your ego at all?
No, not at all. As long as we got the money coming in, I'm good with that. It's all good.
We'll get her, book her on this show if she'd like to see what all these airwaves are about.
Mm.
I'll let her know. I'll see if she's available. And if she's not on my
first. And we would love to have her to come in studio. We wouldn't even have to do a phone interview.
Sit in between us.
Yeah, just come in studio if she's in the area. It'd be cool. She can really get comfortable. I mean, we are live. I mean,
wow. Inappropriate. Not even going to have me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're having Jimmy B. of Let's Get Comfortable on the show right now. So, I mean, there's that.
Touche. I deserve that one.
SoCo Midget chiming in. Jim, you know you've made it whenever the texters chime in about you. Guys, why are we treating this like it's real?
It's not. It's not real at all.
Oh, man.
I don't know why we are either. Let's quit pretending.
Well, Jimmy B., we love you. We miss you. Hopefully we can see you out in these St. Louis streets here soon.
All right, guys. I'll see you soon. For real, you're doing big things. I'm proud of both of you. Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, buddy. Brother. Talk soon.
Take it easy.
That's Jimmy B of Let's Get Comfortable. Great dude.
Hey, are you
check out his podcast.
Now, he sort of kind of had us on. But are you a little
that was good.
That was very good. But are you now a little bit upset that now he's done multiple episodes that he actually hasn't invited us on?
Yeah, it's something I think about a lot.
I was just thinking about this the other day. I was up in the middle of the night. And I was like, what St. Louis podcast have we not done? And then Let's Get Comfortable came to mind.
What about Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man?
Do we have to read it?
Guys, I ended up getting in a heated argument with this chick Saturday night about how I thought Travis was sexier than Chris. It was to the point where the expletives were flying. So I guess Christy's team Chris and Engine Joe's team Trav. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, Chrissy's team Chris.
Sorry, bro.
I was almost certain, like, I think it's because you're tan. You got an
ugly. Oh, yeah.
And that video really.
Yeah, those hot tub videos. Yeah. After she held her her vomit back, she was really into me.
Chris score update. Argentina 2.
Why are we updating soccer?
Donald Trump and the boys, 0.
I don't think that's how it works.
Nope. Not as hip. And the Cardinals are still up 4-3. I don't know why we're updating soccer scores. I feel like there are soccer people out there that probably are like, hey, man, I need to know what's going on with Copa America. And sure enough, they tune into We Alive for those type of updates.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty important part of our show.
Argentina.
I played Farmington Rec League soccer.
Oh.
So there's that. You have a lot of rec league soccer.
Why do you always bring
it up?
You always bring it back to your heydays.
That's all I knew. You know, you go, you play some soccer. Maybe you score 6 goals in an indoor game 1 year.
Did you really?
Like indoor soccer, you have like it's a small town, and the good kids, while they played select back then as well, but they were spread out quite a bit. So if you were just mildly athletic, you'd be a goal scorer.
Argentina. I can't believe you played soccer at Farmington.
Chubby kids would get put in goal.
How did you celebrate? Basic. Did you do the big celebration thing, or you just...
Oh, I punched a kid's mom in the face.
That sounds Farmington.
Yeah.
Now, we were nice. It was really nice of us to stay in a very beautiful...
What?
Airbnb while we're out in Los Angeles.
What are you saying?
There was a nice Airbnb that we stayed in Los Angeles that turned into We Are Live Studios.
Uh-huh.
Great time.
Right.
And this, though, could be a game changer, especially in New York. New York has passed legislation that would ban Airbnb listings for some short-term rentals.
Yeah, I haven't read this article, but I know they've been having issues because they say it prices people out of affordable living, that apartments aren't being used for what they're intended.
Right. There's a law.
Is that what this is about?
Yeah, this law has been on the books for a long time, and it's basically a reinforcement of a law that's presently on the books. The bill was approved on Friday by the New York State Senate, having previously passed in the House. It will now go to Governor Cuomo's desk, who could sign it, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. New York already prohibits rentals that last fewer than 30 days if residents are not present, but posting listings for such rentals was not explicitly barred. Under the new legislation, people who post such listings could be fined up to $7,500. Airbnb said it believed that if the bill were enacted into law, New York would be the first jurisdiction in the world to ban ads for short-term rentals on home-sharing sites. This is a game changer, so to speak.
Could be. I don't know. There's part of me, usually I would just be vehemently against this because people own it. They should be able to use it.
And
I appreciate
Airbnb.
People
use it as their income, too.
People use that as a way
to pay their rent.
I know. And I just wonder who... And here's the thing. As with everything, this isn't just me being like, all right, who's benefiting from this not...
Right.
This ain't just about the people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's... Yeah, so I don't like this.
You would imagine... So you think maybe the bigger landlords of New York are coming down hard?
Somebody's benefiting that you wouldn't realize is benefiting in this situation. And... Airbnb has revolutionized things. They probably just completely changed up the entire game with travel. I mean, really.
It has.
We just enjoyed the hell out of ours.
Could it be the big hotel giants?
You know, I watched a thing with the Airbnb CEO, and I believe he had numbers that said hotels are doing the best they've ever done right now.
Right.
So I don't know, man. It's weird, but I don't know.
The prominent investors, Silicon Valley bigwig Paul Graham, and also, you know, he's a big investor into Airbnb. Of all people, I didn't see this coming, but I guess he's a very savvy guy.
Mark Cuban.
No, younger, better-looking version of him, Ashton Kutcher.
Never heard of him.
Huge investor into Airbnb. They took to Twitter, of course, to knock the New York Senate. Airbnb, as you mentioned, Chris, third controversy in New York, where the company says its services supports terrorism and helps residents defray high rent.
It does, too. And now that I sit here and I think about it, like, New York just got legal for MMA. Like, and it, that was based on a union thing, right, or lobbyists and stuff like that. It's, yeah, I'm not behind this. And Chris, they're going to mask it in, it for the people. There's not enough affordable housing.
That's and you're right. And here's the comment also. The hotel industry have complained that Airbnb is leading to proliferation of homes that essentially function as illegal hotels in violation of zoning laws, safety codes, and other requirements. But that doesn't make sense, at least from the I don't know how that follows. How what would it be violating safety codes?
Well, because hotels have to have
But wouldn't an apartment also have to have the same type of codes as well?
It's a matter of letter or spirit of the law.
Right. Okay.
So if you zone something commercial, like in a neighborhood, you can't just pop up a Walmart if it's not zoned commercial, right? Because it's like that's different. So granted, they do have to abide by that. But this is different, and this is the same thing as taxis and stuff like that. You have to evolve, and I get it. So you have hotels, they employ people, they pay taxes, all this stuff. But it's a threat to their well-being, as they're saying, and I get it. That's what a hotel is going to do, so they're going to fight it. But I really hope that
I hope Cuomo vetoes it. I hope he vetoes it. And just for the simple fact is that I have friends, of course, who are presently in New York, and of course, we all know about rent.
Friends?
Women who may have hit like one time at some point or another.
But they live in New York, so they're your
friend. They live in New York, so they're my friend.
I got you.
But a lot of these folks use Airbnb to help control their rent, to essentially pay for it. Now, as you mentioned, Chris, some landlords do not want tenants renting out rooms because of increased wear and potential liability. And affordable housing activists worry the service diverts units out of the regular housing stock.
Sure, and I get that, and that's fair for them to inquire about it, but I don't know. I hope it overcomes it and it takes it.
If you're Airbnb, you got to start using your weight. Airbnb is estimated to be worth $25 billion and has contributed over $60 million in taxes the state of New York. So that's where you lead. You got to lead with that.
You know who took them on a little vacation with them?
Who was that?
Obama took their CEO to Cuba.
Of Airbnb?
To highlight the great aspects of capitalism.
Right. And then...
And he was in Cuba. He took me and said, what are you valued at right now? you asked him that.
The company right now is valued at a little bit over $25 billion. You have to think, if I'm Cuomo, I would veto it simply because politically, I don't think he loses much.
No one's going to uprise because Airbnb is still affordable and people can stay in a cool place.
And I think
rather than in a semen-filled hotel room.
And you and I have looked up hotel prices.
Well, that's probably where you would go.
Well, that's probably what I would want in my Airbnb rental. But we have looked up, if you've looked up hotel prices in New York, good God, that's your trip right there. That's your
$350
trip.
A night for a garbage room.
For a 2.5-star. So... Gosh, this would—I don't think it obviously will affect New York tourism, but it would—the hotels would be like, "We're back in business, baby."
Yeah,
it would.
Did you listen to the Joe Coy podcast today? Okay.
No, I think, and again, just as a person who is trying to book the next big trip to New York City, I kind of wouldn't.
I'm staying with my friend Julie, who's an executive at Waze.
We got to figure this bad boy out.
Hey, Sherrod Small.
Right.
Got a couch?
Exactly. So we need to figure this bad boy. I hope it doesn't affect our future trips to New York. So, I just thought that was odd that Airbnb. I wonder, though, I don't think it will resonate throughout the country, but I really do think this is bully for New York. Man, so it's really hard living in New York, man.
Oh, it's turning into, it's priced itself out of normalcy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a world
finance
thing. Like, with all that, when they cleaned it up and it's now this financial... You know, it's the mecca of this. It's you can't have normal people living there. No. I mean, it's literally just too expensive. Soko Midget, your first show back, and we're breaking down Airbnb. Great. I know a lot about hotels, and they're great. How about a Motel 6? Are we going to bring that back? How about that whole deal? God, I love the Soko Midget so much.
Do you?
I do. I'm a fan.
Do you? That's the first time you've ever met someone that you liked that was below 4.3.
And then have friends have kids that are pretty cool.
I guess. Honestly, I think he's just too short-sighted of an individual.
Dude, Tyrion would light you up. Did you hear what he said to your boy No-Dong?
Oh, man. Yeah.
The last time I saw you.
Tyrion, Tyrion had a moment. They all had a good moment. Good for them.
Boy, that was a strategery moment, wasn't it?
Great joys. Good for them. Good for everyone.
And until next week.
And then that's just going to be. And then here's the thing. Now
we're going to pay because we're happy.
What, do we got to wait 10 months?
Yeah, but Walking Dead will come on before that.
I still have some catching up to do in that.
Oh, you're not caught up?
No. Well, I heard this thing. I did hear that. They filmed for everyone, so all who's left in the group.
Yeah,
they filmed death scenes, so they have not decided what they're going to do or who goes away. They have not decided who goes away
for what,
for the season premiere of Walking Dead. So essentially, the creators and the showrunners created death scenes for everyone in the group. So they're waiting last minute.
Well, there's two
to decide.
There's
which
some that are
is,
for sure not.
Yeah. There and those two.
Who do you think it'll be?
If I had to guess who it would be.
I just like interrupting you with Bald Eagle. Sorry.
Are you happy?
I did that a few times on the trip. Sorry, go ahead.
I got Glenn.
What?
I got Glenn and I got. Is there a black person still left besides Michonne?
There are so many black people on this show.
All right, well, it's definitely going to be a black
Actually,
guy. It's going to be a minority. A minority will die.
Please.
A minority will die. Season premiere of Walking Dead.
All right. At some point, someone needs to bring Travis a giant bottle.
As long as they're Michonne, I don't care.
I actually, like, that would be the most, that would be the most ballsy move.
That would be the ballsiest slash dumbest thing they can do for that show.
No.
Do you think the show can go on without much? Well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say it will end.
Yeah.
But you would have to think a lot of folks will be upset about that.
Of course. More people would be upset about Daryl, and there'd be the majority of their fans, which is like teenage girls.
What about Carl?
He isn't going to die. There's a line that said that discludes two people. It would make no sense.
If you kill Michonne, I would not be happy.
That's the best part about it.
Nah, man. Come on, man. Don't be saying that. That ain't cool.
That was my prediction. I was like, if they want to be ballsy, they off her.
Man, if they do that, I'm done. I'm done with you, Walking Dead.
Do you have any idea what's about to happen on there, too?
I have an idea. I have semblance like everyone
like, again,
from you to...
Again, the social constructs and the numbers don't match up for how
here's
many black people
is,
are on this damn
here's
show.
The thing, here's the thing that I don't want them to
all
do.
All of a sudden, it's like 50-50.
Here's what I like what they did and made this season of Game of Thrones good.
What?
Here's what I'm saying. Game of Thrones, why this was such a good season, or has been, and again, we still have one more episode, they kind of pulled the reins. Like, you can't...
Okay,
you
we can't just keep murdering everybody.
You can't keep murdering everyone. So,
that we love.
In that regard, I think I get that there's a character or two... Some people have to be around for the audience to show up. And
sure.
I think, and I'm not, and I you watch it
hold,
more than I do, but I would imagine a good majority.
Hold the door.
I would imagine a good majority of the audience.
Hold the door.
And I would say 30 to 45% really tune in because of their draw towards Michonne. You'd be punching your fan base in the nuts if you got rid of her.
I mean, sure. Yeah, but that's the... That's the whole show.
Man, you can't do that. You thought I was pissed about Harambee? You ain't seen nothing yet, pal.
Oh, my gosh.
I would knock over a gorilla at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, you're awful.
Shall we take a...
No, no.
Another break.
Hey, guys, we'll take a quick break. My name's Travis Terrell. His is Chris Denman.
Hello, wait.
Apparently. Giamatti behind the glass, Tickle in the keys. We're back from Los Angeles. Deal with it. Download all our past shows, Not Safe for Work, all that good stuff. We got videos. Our boy Dylan Palladino was the star of the first TBH. Tonight, Tony Caballero, we've got a video to accompany his interviews. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to We Are Live.
We are live, CBS 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, the all-new WeAreLiveRadio.com, here in Studio City, Los Angeles. Travis, how's it been this week?
Well, as you can tell by my tan, pretty damn well.
We're living large. We're presented by the Hill Cigar Company, and we're proud to have in studio Tony Caballero. What's up, Tony?
What's up, dudes?
You're so Cali, man.
I like the tan joke. That was good.
Because he's black, right?
Yeah.
I've been working on it. Look nice. Out. Radio humor. Humor.
Careful. Zinger Central.
Hello. We got Tony Caballero. You've seen him on Modern Family. He's a star of Nickelodeon School of Rock. Self-proclaimed twice as good as Jack Black in the movie role, but we don't have to get into that a ton.
I also had one line on Ben and Kate.
Oh.
Which was a show on Fox 3 years ago.
That's what we were, you know.
That's where most people know me. Really.
Right. That's along the lines of, we interviewed Brian Callen, who's well known for his episode of Reba.
Oh, yes.
He was good in that episode.
Yeah.
He was. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm going to go off on many tangents, but.
Thank you.
Reba McEntire was so good in Tremors.
Yes, she
I'm
was.
Still a little,
so,
you know.
Good, dude. With Michael Gross. Uh-huh. And they were like, they had like so. They had a compound, and they were
they
ready
did.
To take
Everyone
down.
Talks about how Kevin Bacon like stole that role, but people forget it. Reba stepped in. She was pretty solid.
That yeah, and I think it's her music career really prepared us for that role. Do you remember this one, Travis?
What is this?
Oh, this is Reba.
I remember it all very well, looking back.
One, how did you have Reba on cue so quickly?
Tony called me ahead of
yeah,
time.
I
this
did.
Is our Reba bit.
I let him know, dude, that I only do squat thrusts to Reba. When I'm doing burpees, I only listen to Reba.
Tony's got a taut, rewarding body. Looked him up online. Black belt in...
Taekwondo.
I've heard of that. Uh-huh. Okay, so how much headgear do you wear? And is it like point fighting, like awesome?
Well, on a daily basis, I always wear headgear. I never know when I might seize. No,
right.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Do you just match up in the middle of a shoot and you're like, you know what? I feel like doing
Taekwondo. I mean, when you're working with kids, dude, it's almost like, man,
yes.
Let's do the Matrix right now. All five of you guys come at me at once.
I love that. So you're on Nickelodeon. You've done plenty of other work. Groundlings.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it? Yeah. Big deal.
Elvira. Not a lot of people know that she came. That character was created at the Groundlings.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I
and Pee Wee Herman, obviously.
Right. Yeah,
but
I've
Elvira.
Used both of them a few times.
Nice.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So of that and working, I guess just a super busy guy. Jonathan Kite was kind enough to introduce you to us to get you over here. What brought you here? You're from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
What originally brought you out? Did you just come out with $5 and a dream? I mean, what was it?
It's a pretty great story, so hold on to your undies.
That's right.
So I grew up with these really funny parents, and they were, you know, both of them had acted in college and never really continued the dream afterwards. My dad's biggest claim to fame was that his understudy in high school in Virginia for the play Camelot was Mark Hamill.
Okay.
Ooh.
And so Mark Hamill
ended
up being Luke Skywalker, and my dad worked construction for 25 years.
Ah, yes.
So So going along those lines,
jury's still out on who made it better.
We'll see. We'll see. He keeps sending audition tapes in to J.J. Abrams. And so anyways, I, you know, right around the time I was choosing to go to college, I was kind of doing acting as a class in high school, and I was always a big jock, so I couldn't really do the after school plays.
Or, what sports?
I was a football player, wrestler, and lacrosse.
Love wrestlers. Missouri's huge for wrestling. Yeah. I got to work out with Ben Askren, Michael Chandler, all these crazy freaking
studs.
Wrestlers. So, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so wrestling, football.
And lacrosse. And then I wanted to play Division I lacrosse. That was like my goal. And, I'd been looking into like military schools because my grandparents were both military and then 9/11 happened our senior year.
Oh, wow. So we're the same. Okay. I'm 02, you're 01.
No,
right?
Same.
Are you 02? Yep. Yeah, it was our senior year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're all 02. 02 in the house.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, thanks so much for aging me, man. But anyways.
yeah, you look 23. cool. Seven people are going to hear
now
this.
No, so. I'm worried about the wrinkles on my forehead. No, I'm kidding. I don't have any.
Who says Hollywood's vain?
So anyways, I decided to go to this military school. Like there was a fusion of things that happened, and I got a scholarship to go play there a little bit too. And while I was there, I was dating a girl who her grandparents lived in Coronado, and then her best friend was an actress in LA.
Nice.
And
anybody would know?
No,
just
but
an
she
actress?
Was working
yeah, sure.
at the time and had dropped out of high school.
Wow.
And so for me, I was kind of like, man, I'm doing this military school thing. I bet I could do this, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Because I was like, well, if I use the discipline I used at the military school to do acting, I bet I could do it. So, like, my whole junior and senior years, I was, like, trying to figure out how I could, like, not turn into a giant loser but move to L.A.
Right.
to pursue acting. So I was like, well, maybe I can get a master's degree in some kind of – because I was a history major in, like, theater history or something. Well, that all fell through. And I graduated from VMI. I worked as a lacrosse camp counselor that summer, and then I moved
out. Get the hell out of here.
And then I moved out with my VMI degree with no – didn't know anybody, didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess I better get another bachelor's degree in acting.
Yeah.
You know? And while I was doing that, I was doing extra work. I was going to Cal State LA, which was wonderful. But then I started doing extra work, which is crazy.
Right. Is it?
And it's nuts. I mean, we could talk for an hour about it. But anyways, I met this – a friend doing extra work, and they were taking classes at the Groundlings, and they were like, okay. You're really funny, but you'd love it. And then I like looked them up, and I was like, Will Ferrell, like, no way, this, you know, I could never do anything like that. And I auditioned, and I was like, oh, this is my purpose in life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, it
literally
it
immediately from the audition, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do.
That's awesome.
You know, I just
if you stick somebody with a wrestler spirit that made it through VMI with decent parents and just worrying about not sucking, that's a damn nice combination.
Yeah, dude. I mean, watch out, world.
Yeah. Do you get a lot? Okay, so maybe it's different. Sometimes in the improv community, we have a ton of friends that are big in improv in St. Louis. There's a wonderful scene there that's growing and growing and growing. Did you feel like you meshed well with the people there? Are you just super you're very different than most improv
students?
It's
very interesting, man.
It is.
Because I don't know. I think for me, I was never afraid to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was like, dude, I can't be more embarrassed than getting mud shoved down my butt crack, climbing up a hill.
Right.
And being, you know, not able to say my name.
Or the best,
for, you know what I mean?
Getting your ass kicked in a duel.
Literally.
Or like, in martial arts, getting knocked down.
Yeah. And for me, I grew up, you know, and my favorite movies were like The Three Amigos and Tommy Boy. And like, I loved that big stuff, and I could bring that big physical energy to the Groundlings.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still remember like doing like shows and people coming up to me afterwards and being like, oh man, we thought we were going to hate you when you first came on stage.
Which is funny because they're fighting against the exact same, all these people were mean to me in high school, but they turn around and do the same.
You know, and you know, working through the Groundlings, it just like it clicked. And then I started working at some of the other comedy schools too. And it was so neat to just have this really unique, different point of view coming from that background. And I think that's what made my comedy different and unique. And like, oh, that guy, we haven't seen anything like that before. He's like Farley meets Stifler. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and yeah, I worked all the way through there. And while I was in Sunday Company, I met my wife, and at about the same time, I got to audition for Saturday Night Live in New York.
Yeah.
And when I did that, that's kind of when I got the great agent and I got the great manager. And then
things kind of kicked it up.
Things definitely kicked up a notch because then I started getting more opportunities, and I went out on like 3 pilot seasons that I was just horrifically bad at for like 3 full pilot seasons. I was like 60 auditions and like nobody wanted me. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't have anything to fall back on. You know, and I totally left out the part where I was a janitor for the first 4 years I lived in LA.
Be like the hottest janitor ever, right?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
You still hold that title.
Shirtless.
That janitor time, boy. Yeah. Here in LA,
you,
boy.
You 18, sweetie?
So much feces on the sidewalk. I'd have to clean up, guys.
Sounds like a good time to kick it over to the Not Safe for Work edition of the podcast. Guys, check it out, InsideSTL.com, WeAreLiveRadio.com, and iTunes. You can download it. Tony is a massive ball of talent, and check his resume if you don't believe it. We're going to throw it over to the Not Safe for Work podcast. Appreciate it, guys. We'll be right back.